Three, two, one. It is time once again for another episode of the Photography Friends podcast. You see that? I remembered the name of the show. That's because I am a true podcasting professional. And not only that, but I am also your photographer, Jared Poirier, here with a very exciting episode of the podcast, part four of our five-part series, where we are actually looking for the greatest niche in all of photography, if you can believe it. And, you know, it's been a pretty wild ride so far. We interviewed a bunch of great photographers, many of whom I've worked with before, and some of whom have even been on this podcast. And they have provided some very valuable insights, and really their experience has been invaluable in terms of helping us gauge what is indeed the greatest niche in all of photography. And I think that this episode today is a pretty good candidate for that title, and that is food photography. And for assistance with this episode, I interviewed a phenomenal photographer. These days, he's doing a lot of work in the fitness industry, shooting all types of people who are super into running, which I don't get. It's just running. No, it's great. Yeah, I have done quite a bit of food photography, food videography in the past. I've even shot some magazine covers for some celebrity chefs. I've shot a lot of different delicious food, you guys, and I have gotten to eat that food after the shifts. So I have some experience to bring to the podcast today, but we're also going to lean on Brody's expertise and his phenomenal knowledge of food photography. So like every single episode in this series, we are going to discuss the best things about food photography. We're going to discuss the worst things about food photography. We are going to discuss which gear you're going to need for food photography. And we're going to talk about the perks of food photography. Finally, we're going to get into how lucrative is food photography. So I'm pumped to get into it. But before we can do anything like that, we need to thank our gracious sponsor, which is, of course, CloudSpot, the easiest way for photographers to deliver and sell photos. Where else? But online. You can experience just effortless downloads. You get beautiful galleries, just such a wonderful service. You're able to impress your clients, and you're able to save yourself a lot of time. And at the end of the day, time is money. And speaking of money, let's talk about food photography. That wasn't a very good segue. Okay, here we go. So the best things about food photography. Well, as Brody says here, if you're a foodie, there's nothing more special than sharing your passion for food and the world of photography. And I think that that is very true. People who are into food, chefs, restaurateurs, you know, foodies, these people are incredibly passionate about what they do. And you really see that passion in their work, and it makes them very good to work for, right? If someone's passionate about what they're doing and you come in there and you try to match that passion, well, that is it's a great working relationship, in my opinion. So another great thing about food photography, you get to meet tons of people, and you get tons of experience working with different personalities, and you learn a lot even from the negative experiences. I would say that this is ringing very true to me. Within, you know, the food and beverage industry, there's a lot of incredibly interesting people, and, you know, there's a lot of personalities, for sure. it's one of those spaces that that really attracts kind of dynamic individuals. I would say people who are very sincere, people who really love what they do, and you know, just different types of personalities. Sometimes it attracts people who are pretty eccentric, but you know, all in all, I've had quite a lot of good experiences working in food and beverage, and yeah, met a lot of great people along the way. The worst things about working in food photography, as Brody says here, there will always be chefs with egos who are typically very controlling. Yeah, that's true. There are also a lot of nice chefs that are great to work with. You know, Brody says in his experience, it's about 50-50. I would say I've had, you know, a little bit of a better experience than Brody has. Maybe I've just gotten lucky, but I've really gotten along with most of the chefs who I've had the opportunity to shoot with. Yeah, and you just have to bring a lot of social skills to bear, and it can be pretty intense, right? Like as we talked about in the event photography episode, there can be quite a bit of pressure put on you as the photographer to accomplish the goals of the person who hired you for that shoot, right? And that is the same in, you know, food and beverage photography with the added stress of, you know, it's food. So you got to work quickly. It's hot in kitchens as well. So that can be something that you have to deal with. And yeah, like the food is getting cooked and you got to shoot it quickly while it still looks good, right? And if you're doing a video, then you're following all of that action and making sure that everything is captured and everything looks good. And yeah, that can be quite a bit of pressure. Again, if you're somebody who doesn't work well under pressure, then this is going to be a real challenge for you. And, you know, you might not be able to handle it. And, you know, that's not really saying that your crap as a photographer, really a judgment against anybody. It's just that, you know, if you're not the type of person who works well under pressure, then you might have a really hard time with food photography. Okay, let's get into gear here. So the gear that you're going to need for food photography, as Brody says here, depends on the type of shoot that you're doing. If it's like a magazine cover type of shoot, you might want tons and tons of artificial light. You might want to be able to control everything that you're shooting. I would say that a full frame camera is definitely going to be helpful for you here. And also that with food photography, it's a real opportunity to use that open aperture. So, you know, if you can get something with a nice f-stop, you know, you don't have to go all the way to like 1.4, 1.8 or something like that. But if you have like a f4 or f2.8 even can be really nice for food photography. So if you want to get into that, you know, some nice prime lenses even would be fine, just with a nice f-stop so you can get a little bit of bokeh, some subject separation that's really going to allow you to showcase that food item, that cocktail, whatever it is, right? But yeah, as Brody also says here, nowadays a more natural look in food photography can work best, right? And just utilizing natural light can be totally fine, just light that's coming through the windows. Brody and I did a shoot together, actually, and you know, he has so much experience with food photography that he really showed me some things, right? And showed me how that you can really just utilize natural light, and that a lot of food looks really good just in natural light. You don't have to go over the top with a bunch of artificial light, and just keep things simple, right? Yeah, so, you know, there's tons of different lighting options, and you can shoot right in the restaurant. This is pretty much what I've always done, is just go on site, shoot in the restaurant, shoot in the kitchen or in the dining room. But you know, as Brody says here, that if you need something very specific, you can even rent out a studio, or if you have a home studio or whatever, you can utilize that. Okay. So when it comes to the perks of food photography, so as Brody said here, this is probably the top perk of food photography. If you're lucky, you can score some incredible free food, as chefs are typically excited for you to try their food, right? You have to realize they're artists as well. And, you know, as photographers, one of our favorite things to do, you know, I'll speak for myself here. One of my favorite things is just showing my work to people and seeing their reaction, right? And this is the same with a lot of chefs. People who work in this industry, right, in the food and beverage industry, they're excited about what they're making, and they're excited to show it to other people, and they're excited to get your reaction, right? So, they'll probably want you to try the food, and I've had literally some of the best food that I've tasted in my life. In my life, ladies and gentlemen, has been when I'm shooting food, either videos or photos of food, and the chefs are making something delicious. Like when I worked for Ascari, my God, we had some good food. Yeah, shout out to John Sinopoli. He really whipped up some good stuff. There was a wild mushroom risotto that we had that was just like, literally to die for. So yeah, that's one of the biggest perks. And just like the thing that we were talking about earlier, the fact that people in this space are often like very, very passionate about what they're doing, and it's just a good environment to work in if people are like passionate and motivated and trying to really do their best, right? All right, so we can get into the fifth and final category here, and that is, of course, how lucrative is this particular form of photography. To be honest with you guys, Brody was pretty reluctant to give a straight answer here, which is understandable. You know, I can respect that. He said that it largely depends on the type of food photography you're doing. More commercial work, typically they'll have more money, but fewer shoots. And with like social media and stuff, there'll be more shoots, but less money. So in terms of how lucrative it is, Brody just says, you know, it depends on the budget. And he didn't really want to give like a number figure. I agree with this. There is quite a range. But I think in general, you know, compared to a lot of the other areas of photography, especially like more artsy forms of photography, you know, working with artists and stuff like that. With food and beverage, there is quite often a decent budget. You know, people in that industry, a lot of the time, really recognize the value of what you're doing. The fact that some very, very delicious looking food photography is actually going to be bringing people into the restaurant. I think that they recognize that. And most of them recognize the fact that you can't just shoot it on your phone, right? They understand that there is something special about bringing in someone who specializes in food photography and having them produce really proper work for you, right? So, you know, there obviously is a bit of a range. But I would say, you know, if I had to give it out of, you know, give a number out of five in terms of how lucrative, again, Brody wouldn't do it, but I'll do it. I'd say it's a 4 out of 5, right? There usually are some good budgets there. And sometimes the restaurant or, you know, the kind of like influencer or whatever will have like a marketing agency or something behind them who's helping them promote things. And that always helps with the budgets as well. So, is food photography the best niche in all of photography? Well, I think it could be. If you really love food, if you love the restaurant industry, if you don't have any issues dealing with, you know, the egos of people, particularly some chefs, who can be a bit egotistical. If you're able to deal with all of that, and if you're kind of a people pleaser, and if you like delicious food, then, you know, I think that this can be a really good, niche to get into. I think that it's going to be attractive to a lot of people, and you can make quite a bit of money doing it. Is it the greatest niche in all of photography, though? Well, we have one more episode next week, and we'll be able to answer that question, guys. So make sure that you check out next week's episode of the Photography Friends podcast. That'll be the last episode in this five-part series. But just before we get out of here for this week, I want to, of course, thank Brody, my buddy Broderick Horn. Check out his Instagram. I'll link that down below. Again, thank you, Brody, so much for contributing to the episode. Truly could not have done it without you. Some other things that you can check out while you're on Instagram. Well, of course, you can check out our podcast on Instagram. Photo_friends_pod. We have some behind the scenes stuff. I'll actually be putting up some examples of Brody's work over there as well. Other stuff that you can do to support the podcast: you can support us on Patreon, and you can also help yourself and help the podcast by signing up with our sponsor CloudSpot. Link down in the description. You can get 50% off. My God, it's time for a something random. What are we gonna do for the something random today? You know what? We're gonna do this for the something random, guys. Why don't you go ahead and support some local businesses that are working hard to deliver excellent food for their hungry clients. If there's a restaurant in your neighborhood that you've been meaning to check out, first of all, maybe look up the reviews on Google Maps. Don't want you guys to have a bad experience. But, you know, if there's something out there that you've been really meaning to try, maybe this week is the week to try it. Go out there and support a local restaurant. And other than that, thanks for tuning into the podcast, and I look forward to speaking with you all next week.